take a moment and just ask the Lord to focus our minds' attention and our hearts' affection on Him and on His Word. And let's ask Him to help us be ready to just say, yes, Lord, whatever He's going to say to us through His Word this morning. Let's do that now. Father, thank You that You love us with an unending, undying love. Thank You, Father, that by Your Spirit, when we come to know You, You indwell us. Holy Spirit, thank You for leading us into truth. Father, we know that the only place we can find sure truth is Your Word. And so, Father, I pray that You would open our eyes now to see Your truth. Lord, I pray that You'd open our hearts to receive that truth. And then, Father, I pray that You would give us readiness to apply and live and obey that truth, that we might be more like Jesus than even when we came in this room today. Thank You, Father, for being good to us. In Jesus' name, amen. We who are Bible-believing Christians might just be a little bit preoccupied. I think our tendency is to focus only or primarily on the scandalous sins of others, things like homosexuality or rape. The result? We tend to be so focused on the scandalous sins of others that we often fail to deal with our own more subtle sins. Things like materialism, or lust, or a lack of self-control. Our focus on others, rather than dealing with ourselves, reminds me of a passage of Scripture. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye, and pay no attention to the plank in your own? How can you say to your brother, "Let me take the speck out of your eye," when all the time there is a plank in your own eye? You hypocrite. First, take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. So, rather than focusing on the scandalous sins of others, wouldn't it be better if we focus first on our own more subtle sins? Last week, we talked about the remedy for sin. If you were here, you'll remember that the remedy for sin is the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's it. That is the remedy for sin. In other words, all that Jesus did for us, His virgin birth, His sinless life, His sacrificial death, and His resurrection from the dead, all of this, when appropriated to our lives, is the remedy for sin. Now, as part of this remedy, we talked last week about the double cure. The first part of the double cure is this: the gospel of Christ cleanses us from the guilt of sin. The reason that we often feel so guilty is because we are. We are guilty, and we're just feeling what is. The first step, then, in putting to death our subtle sins, is to acknowledge our sin, both to God and others. There's a second part, then, to the double cure. Number two, the gospel of Christ cleanses us from the power of sin. Now, for those who are in Christ, sin no longer has the power to make you do anything. Although sin has been dethroned from your life, sin still seeks to exert influence over us. So the battle's not over, but the power of sin is over if Christ lives in you. In Christ, we now have the power to say no to sin and yes to God. Finally, we asked this question last week. We asked, how can I progress? How can I see progress in putting to death the subtle sins in my life? How can I move forward as God would have me? The first thing is this: we must continually immerse ourselves in the Word of God. There's no end run. There's no shortcut. We must read it, hear it, study it, memorize it, live it, and breathe it. The Spirit of God will use the Word of God to shape our thoughts and our attitudes and our actions. Then there's a second thing to make progress. We must continually cry out to God in prayer. Gotta pray. In prayer, we learn to depend on God, not ourselves. In prayer, we admit that we do not have the power to live godly lives in our own strength. Gotta pray and depend on Him. Okay, enough review. Acknowledging our sin is a huge first step, but it's not enough. It's not enough to simply say, well, of course I'm a sinner. After all, nobody's perfect. You see, it's one thing to admit I'm a sinner, but it's another thing altogether to deal with my sin. Got to deal with it. Dealing with the subtle sins in our lives means we cannot continue to ignore them as we've done in the past. Can't give ourselves a free pass. Now, in the weeks to come, I'm going to address several specific areas of sin, several of these subtle sins that Christians tend to caress. But first this morning, I'd like to share with you 6 key principles for dealing with sin. These principles apply, period, no matter what the area of sin. You want to deal with your sin? Here's help from God's Word this morning. Let's dive in. Number one is this. We must address our sin in light of the gospel. We must address our sin in light of the gospel. We discussed this last Sunday, but it bears repeating at this point. Here's our tendency. We become aware of an area of sin in our lives, whatever that might be. Okay, so we acknowledge it to God and others. But then, we often totally forget to apply the gospel to our struggle with sin. Now, once again, when I use the word gospel, I'm talking about the entire work of Christ on our behalf, all of which were necessary both for our salvation and also for our forgiveness. We forget that for the Christian, God has already forgiven all of our sins. In Christ, He paid the price. Why? Why are we clean? Why are we forgiven for all of our sins? Because Christ paid for them with His own blood on the cross. It's done. There's nothing more you and I can do to help Him forgive us a little bit more. If you're in Christ, the blood of Christ applied to your sins, positionally, you are clean before God. Colossians chapter 2. Verses 13 and 14. God has forgiven us all our trespasses by canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. This He set aside, nailing it to the cross. It's done. And so if you're a Christian, don't ever buy the lie that you cannot win over sin. Don't ever allow the enemy to persuade you that, well, you can't do any better than you're already doing. It's going to have to be this miserable way the rest of your life. That's not true. In Christ, you are already victorious because of what He has done for you. You just got to live like it. Now, not only has God forgiven us, but He has also credited to us, get this, He has credited to us the very righteousness of Christ. Listen, in every area of life where you've been disobedient, Jesus was perfectly obedient. You ever worry? Well, I'm here to tell you, never once did Jesus wring His hands in fear. Never once. Are you guilty of unkind words or gossip or a critical spirit or sarcasm? Jesus only spoke that which was appropriate for the occasion. Now get this. Never once did Jesus ever sin with his tongue? Not once. Or how about this? You ever struggle with a lustful thought, an inappropriate sexual thought? Not Jesus. Not a single lustful thought ever. For some 33 years, Jesus lived a life of perfect obedience. He culminated that obedience by dying in our place on the cross. In both his life and his death, Jesus was perfectly righteous. And you know why that's important? Because it is this righteousness, the righteousness of Christ, that is credited to every person who surrenders their life to Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:21 explains, God made him, Christ, who had no sin, to be sin for us, so that in him, in Christ, we might become the righteousness of God. Let me help you visualize this just a bit. All right. Now, my buddy Barry here, he represents each one of us. Notice that his jacket is labeled with an S for sin, kind of the scarlet letter. I represent Christ. My jacket, you'll notice, is labeled with an R for righteousness. And so, the jacket that Barry is wearing is representative of his entire life. A life of sinful thoughts, sinful attitudes, and sinful actions. Isn't that right, Barry? On the other hand, my jacket is representative of the life of Christ. A life which is 100% clean. Not just sinless, but in every way and at all times, godly, pure, obedient. And so, what 2 Corinthians 5:21 teaches us is this. It says, God made him, Christ, who knew no sin, this thing stinks. He made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, so that in him, in Christ, we might, sleeve's just a touch long, but it's close. In him, we might become the righteousness of God. So, every single sin that you have ever committed, every lustful thought, every shameful action, every ungodly word, all of it is on Christ. And every single act of godliness and obedience that Jesus did, all of that goodness is credited to you. To you. What a deal. You say, but I don't deserve this. Exactly. That is what grace is all about. Now, this illustration does break down in a couple of places, one of them being, I'd prefer to wear my jacket for the rest of this message. So, real quick, Barry. I'm telling you, it stinks. Woo! Thank you very much. Appreciate your help. I get myself back in here. All right, then. So, P, I wonder what that is. I don't know. So as we who are in Christ struggle then to put to death our subtle sins, we need to always remember, get this now, we need to always remember that our sins are forgiven. All of our sins, past, present, and future. Therefore, because of what Jesus did for us on the cross, we have been declared righteous by God. Is that incredible or what? Now, because of this, the greatest motivation we could ever have for dealing with our own sins is a heart of gratitude. Gratitude for all that God has done for us in Christ. Amen? We've got to be thankful for what He's done. That being our motivation to obey Him. There's another key principle for dealing with our sin. We must rely on the Holy Spirit. We must rely on the Holy Spirit. Look, if I could have put to death all of the sin in my life in my power, through my effort, I'd have done so a long time ago. But I can't. I'm just not that good. I'm not that strong, which is why I need the power of the Holy Spirit to help me. Romans chapter 8, verses 12 and 13. Therefore, brothers, we have an obligation, but it is not to the sinful nature to live according to it. For if you live according to the sinful nature, you will die. But if by the Spirit... Let me emphasize three words. If by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. Beloved, it is only by the power of the Holy Spirit of God that any of us can crucify our sin. We tend to forget this. Instead, we try to rely on our willpower to buck up, to man up, to pull ourselves up by our bootstraps and fix our sin problems ourselves. Question. How's that working for you? It doesn't work, does it? Our spiritual lives can be compared to a motor. I happen to bring a little motor with me today. Here's a motor inside my Black & Decker 6-amp power drill. So let's say again that our spiritual lives can be compared to the motor of, in this case, an electric drill. Now, this motor of this drill, it does the actual work, but it only works when the motor is connected to the source of power. At this moment, it's not. So the most I can get is this. That's all I got. Try as I might, that's it. I'm not going to get anything better than that because it's not connected to the source of power. But when you plug it in, an amazing thing happens. You plug it in, and you know what you get then? That's power. And that's what it's supposed to be. Now, thankfully, these pages are numbered, or it might be a long message. I'd be back on page 2 again. But I think we'll be okay. Maybe. All right, so it works when it's plugged in. So here's the question then. How do we plug into the Holy Spirit? How do we do that? It's got to be practical. It's got to be real. He told us to do it. How do we do it? How do we walk in the Spirit? You got to go back to what we said last time. We must immerse ourselves in the Word of God. Again, guys, I don't know about you. Sometimes I'm just lazy. I'm looking for shortcuts. There is none. There's no shortcut. Immerse yourself in God's Word and cry out to God in prayer. When we start depending on God, that's when we get plugged into the Spirit and have the power to do what we need to do. No substitutes. There's another principle, number three. We must do our part while relying on the Holy Spirit. Our part. We do have a role. Beloved, you can't just lay on the beach all day eating bonbons and expect your sin problems to vanish. It just doesn't work that way. Sorry, Brandon. It doesn't work that way. Look, if you struggle with alcohol, you better stay away from the bars. Not only that, you better stay away from the convenience stores. You better make yourself accountable to someone every day. And you'd better avail yourself to some good Christian counseling. You have to do your part. Number four, principles for how to deal with sin. Number four, we must identify and acknowledge specific areas of sin. Again, a little bit of overlap from last week, but I want you to get it. This is part of what I want us to do, as in the next few weeks, we examine specific, subtle sins. As you hear each message, here's what I want to encourage you to do. I want you to ask the Holy Spirit. You ask the Holy Spirit to show you if this area of sin, this particular area of sin, is a pattern in your life. Would you be willing to do that? I mean, really do that? God, what about this area? Is this a pattern for me? God, show me truth. Is this a pattern for me? You know, I understand to do so, it takes some humility. Some humility. But I want to return to a verse I shared with you last time, James chapter 4, verse 6, which says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. God opposes the proud. Let me say it one more time. In the midst of a struggle with sin, the last thing we need is opposition from God. And beloved, if you're not willing to hear the next several messages in a spirit of humility, I'm just going to tell you the truth. It's going to be a total waste of time, yours and mine. But on the other hand, if we will humble ourselves and along with King David pray, search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me and lead me in the way, your way, everlasting. If we'll actually humbly and sincerely pray this to God, God will meet us at the point of our need. He will. He'll meet us right where we are. Humility required. There's another key principle for dealing with sin. Number five, we must apply Scripture to each area of sin. Apply? How so? Key verses should be memorized, meditated on, and prayed over repeatedly. I mean like multiple times throughout the day. In Psalm chapter 119, verses 9 and 11, the psalmist wrote this. He said, how can a young man keep his way pure? By living according to your word. I have hidden your word in my heart, that I might not sin against you. Hidden. You know what that means? That means I've memorized it. I have chosen key verses of Scripture. I've memorized them, and like a tape recorder, over and over and over again, all through the day, I replay God's word in my heart and my mind to help me do battle and not sin against God. And by the way, please don't tell me you cannot memorize. Don't tell me that. It's just not true. Let's test it right now. I'm going to put some of you on the spot. Oh, here we go. Andrew, what's your phone number? All right, got that right. All right, Brandon, what's your address? Okay. Cindy, what's your middle name? Annette. That's on the recording for everyone to know. But that's a good name. It's not something unusual. That's good. Now, here's my question. These three people, I asked them things. They clicked them right off. How do they know these things? Obviously, they memorized them. Now, admittedly, some memorize faster, some slower. I get that. But everyone can memorize verses of Scripture if they really want to. By the way, compared to some, I happen to be one of the slow ones when it comes to memorizing. I can relate to that. Way back in college, I took a religious education class in which we were required to memorize the 14 steps of the Passover feast. Why? I have no idea. But that's what we had to do, 14 steps of the Passover feast. So nonetheless, for about 30 minutes, I had been working on memorizing this 14-point list. Number 7, number 8. I'm just struggling through it. Crystal was there with me, and I was using her to help quiz me some, so she'd look at the paper, and I'd say, best, you know, painfully going through it, saying aloud each point as I could. Now, after a while, I said, again, maybe 30 minutes, maybe less. I said, here, Crystal, let me take that list back from you. Let me look at it, just kind of refresh me a little bit that way. And just for fun, Crystal, I tell you what, just say whatever couple or few of these you can remember. And you know what she did? She went, 14 in a row, no hesitation, not a miss, done. I paused, and I said, you make me sick. Did I mention that Crystal was her high school class valedictorian? It's just not fair. Again, I say, if you want it bad enough, you can memorize key verses of Scripture. Question, have you tried? Are you trying this now? If God has identified in your life already a key area of sin, what are you doing about it? Are you memorizing key verses? I'm not talking about the whole Bible. Find 3 or 4 or 5 verses and start memorizing. And every day in the morning and at lunch and at supper and before you go to bed and in your quiet time, rehearse the Word of God, continuing to do battle with sin using the sword of the Spirit. Are you doing that? If not, no excuse. God's told you what to do. Now do it. Yes? Good. One more principle for dealing with sin. We must make ourselves accountable to a handful of others. Last week, we talked about confessing our sins to one another. How important that is. Not to the whole world, but to find a handful of people. Because all of us struggle with sin. All of us need accountability. All of us need a handful of other people who will encourage us, exhort us, pray for us, and if need be, kick us in the seat of the pants. Sometimes that's a good thing. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verses 9 and 10 says this, 2 are better than 1 because they have a good return for their work. If one falls down, his friend can help him up. But pity the man who falls and has no one to help him up. Add to that Proverbs 20:17. As iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. We need accountability. No secrets. We need accountability. Though accountability can be embarrassing, and it can it not? Yeah, if you're going to be honest, it can be embarrassing. But once we've gotten past trying to portray a certain image, false image, by the way, it's actually freeing. Can you imagine what it would be like to just be who you really are without having to pretend? Man, that would be great. Can you imagine what it would be like to be real and to even be able to show your ugly side, and all of us have one of those, knowing that with at least this handful of people, you're still going to be loved. The only way we can make progress in dealing with our sins is to take the risk to be vulnerable and accountable to someone else. Question: are you willing to do that? Might have to search to find a couple of people you can trust, but are you willing? Because if you really want to deal with your sin, you don't have a choice. You need accountability. Now, if this list of principles for dealing with sin seems a bit overwhelming, or maybe it seems like there's so many, or it's a little confusing, maybe just a simple, quick summary will help. So here we go. How do I deal with my sin? How do I deal with it? One, I must address my sin in light of the gospel. Two, I must rely on the Holy Spirit. Three, I must do my part while relying on the Holy Spirit. Four, I must identify and acknowledge specific areas of sin. Five, I must apply Scripture to each area of sin. Six, I must make myself accountable to a handful of others. Seriously, if you will take these biblical instructions to heart, with God's help, you will win, even over your besetting sin. And if you're not willing in a particular area of sin, not willing to do any one of these instructions, I can almost guarantee, if you're not willing and you're not winning and it's not working, I can almost guarantee that at least one of these instructions is missing. Go ahead, do your own mental check. Are all six of these being applied continuously and consistently in your life right now with your areas of sin? If there's something missing, that may be your issue. Of course, there is one more thing that might derail you before you even begin. If you really want to win over sin, you've got to have Jesus. Got to have Jesus. The Bible says this. It says, and this is the testimony. God has given us eternal life. And this life is in His Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. Beloved, if the Son of God is not with you and in you, not only do you not have eternal life, you also don't have the power to win over sin. You got to have Jesus. You say, well, Pastor, I don't know if Jesus is with me and in me or not. What should I do? You should surrender your life to Christ. Surrender your life to Christ. Ask Him to come into your life and be your Lord and Master. Ask Him to forgive your sins. Confess to Him that you are a sinner who needs a Savior. Ask Him to help you. Ask Him to change you from the inside out. You got to have Jesus. And you know what? There is no better time than right now to begin your own personal relationship with Jesus Christ. I'd like to lead you as we pray. I'd like to lead you to pray that Christ would come into your life, forgive your sins, and make you who He wants you to be. So as I lead you, if your first and foremost need is to know Christ, to begin a personal relationship with Him, as I lead you right now, I'm going to ask you to pray silently in your heart. Let's do it. Bow your heads with me, please. Jesus, Lord, I am a sinner. And, oh God, I have broken your laws over and over and over again. God, please forgive me. Please come into my life and make me the person that you want me to be. Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross to pay for my sins. Now, Jesus, help me follow you. now with our heads still bowed and eyes closed. Let me ask this. What about those who are already followers of Jesus? What will you take out of this message? Will you choose to deal with your own sin? Will you apply these biblical principles to your own life? Or will you continue to ignore the sin that God shows you? If in your heart you are willing to follow these biblical instructions for dealing with sin, why don't you just share that with God right now? I'll wait. Just say this. Say, God, I don't want to ignore my sin anymore. God, I want to deal with it. Please, God, forgive me. Change me. Please help me to apply these biblical instructions to my own situation. And God, help me begin today. Go ahead. Take just a moment. You talk to the Lord for just a moment.